knowing.
All right, Mal, welcome to Crow 777 Radio. This is hour one of episode 643. Jason Lingren is with me, and returning are Matt, Terry, and Caroline from Masterpiece. You may remember from a past episode, I talked about a doctor friend of mine who had a testimonial, which is kind of jaw-dropping, about Masterpiece. It has to do with autism. We'll be reading the testimonial, and it's literally jaw-dropping, the result that was achieved. We'll be doing that in hour two. In hour one, we're going to get into things like the MAC address, which has been detected in human beings, and what Masterpiece can do about it. Anyhow, welcome, Jason. How goes it?
Oh, it's a hot and humid Louisiana. Good morning.
All right. Do you have anything you want to lay down before I bring folks in?
No, but this information is definitely interesting, and I'm looking forward to having it laid out for us.
This is a thing that my wife and I use daily, and many of the people that I know, and it will remain that way. My doctor friend and others who have been on this show also use it. Just so everybody knows, on the sponsorship page are things that we have found in the world that are truly beneficial. If we don't feel it's truly beneficial, it doesn't belong there. There is a link to Masterpiece, which doesn't offer many reductions in cost, but by simply using that link, there is a reduction in cost. That is on the sponsorship page of Crow 777 Radio. And I can't say enough good things about this, particularly on the tail of the episodes we did where I had to come back on the air, which I don't generally do because so many trolls decided to badmouth this. And that's, in one way, that is how you know it's working, when so many people take an interest just out of the blue to try to defame a thing. Anyhow, I'm going to bring in the team. Welcome, Matt.
Hey, Crow. It's always good to be here. How are you today?
I'm great, man. Let me bring in the others. Welcome, Caroline.
Hi. Great to be back on with you again. Thank you for having me.
And Terry, you're going to be pinch hitting hour two. Welcome back.
Thank you so much. Looking forward to it.
All right. Do you guys want to lay down anything before we jump in? I think Matt's going to lead us in here in a moment.
Yeah. Let me just do a quick intro on what we're talking about here. We have worldwide studies done by scientific teams. One is ours, but there's been others that have shown that people are emitting Bluetooth signals after receiving the COVID shots, or some are just after PCR tests. So we've done the first longitudinal interventional study that has proven that Masterpiece has the ability to disable the signal.
This is a hell of a thing that I can't underscore enough. The first time I heard it, I don't even know, it was like a year or more ago, that human beings were being scanned and a MAC address found. This is something we used to do to our damn devices, to just thoroughly try to underline what we're talking about here. And at first, I wasn't sure I bought into it. But then as time went by, I recognized that it's in fact true. People are emitting a MAC address. And you just mentioned behind the PCR test. I mean, that's just a nasal swab, isn't it?
Yeah, it goes past the nasal area back really deep.
It's unbelievable. Jason, do you want to add anything? I'm getting ready to bring Matt on.
Well, those swabs, people said how painful they were. They were shoving them way up there. So goodness only knows if there was some sort of particulate mixed in with that swab, that it's getting really deep into your body.
That was another thing that struck me. You and I talked to so many people, and person after person who unfortunately opted to do that were complaining about, I'll just call it what it was, kind of brutal, getting a thing jammed up your nose. You know, when you think of a swab, it's just a swab. That's not how they were describing it. But anyhow, welcome aboard, Matt Hazen. You are the owner of Human Consciousness Support and a co-formulator here. We're going to jump in. Can you start by kind of defining what is a MAC address?
Yeah, a MAC address it's like an ID badge, like a unique ID badge, and it's for network hardware. So it allows the device to transmit and receive the Bluetooth signal, but it's an identifier. It's kind of like on your luggage, so that you know where your luggage is at. It's a track and trace system, essentially, is what they're using it for. It's defined as a media access control, and it's simply the exact unique identifier as to what the device is. Is it an iPad? Is it a unknown address, which is what we find when it comes to this human being weird sci-fi phenomena that World Economic Forum shoved at us for so long, and then now it's becoming the reality.
It's quite astonishing. And here I thought I wasn't a Mac guy, but it's really not a funny thing to make jokes about. And I don't know if you guys noticed, but the WEF has public-facing bullet points this year that include population reduction. Jason, you probably know more about MAC addresses than I do.
Well, anybody who does networking will be very familiar with what this means. It's an identifier. It means there's something here and there's a number attached to it. Human beings should not have a MAC address.
Well, Matt, this kind of underscores that if it's true that the way it's getting into us, we just described, this must be some kind of weird tiny nanotech.
It is. It is. And essentially what they did is they took the hardware components that you would find in your phone, in your computer, in your iPad, and they shrunk them down to nano. We've heard of smart dust for a long time. And they put this technology, and we do know that shedding is also a real thing. We're going to get into that too. But they've got this stuff down the nano, and then through a process called telesphoresis, it assembles inside of the body. And telesphoresis is two different things, LED lights, and then you have 5G plus waves. And those synergistic effects causes these hardware components to build the computer, self-assemble inside of you. And that's what we see with people who have had the COVID jab, PCR tests, and even in someone who now a woman who is with her husband and he had been COVID jabbed and she ends up getting a MAC address. So yeah, this is a real problem that's combing the earth now.
So for those who don't know what MAC stands for, three capital letters, M period, A period, C period, it stands for, wait for it, Media Access Control. So I've got to ask, why does a MAC or a Bluetooth address even matter, Matt?
Because you're talking about radiation, and you're also talking about something that you didn't approve to have inside of you. And you're also the realization that we have a transhumanism agenda that is being played out by the people who own all the resources and own all the governments in the world that have been very vocal about it. And so this is a huge keystone step to them completing their transhumanism plan against us and our kids and the future of all humanity.
Now, this ties into the whole Internet of Bodies and Internet of Things. They've been threatening behind the scenes that they're going to be doing this stuff to us, that we're not going to have any choice anymore. We as society, they are going to do this stuff to us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, the one thing that we knew is that the big piece of their puzzle was in graphene oxide. And so in 2022, there was a toxicological report peer-reviewed and published by the now incarcerated Dr. Robert Young. And it proved that inside of the capsulation system, so inside of the lipid nanoparticle hydrogel, he found about 90% graphene oxide inside of there and then ferric oxide. And this is the main component that self-assembles, that without that component inside of the body, all the other components that it takes to make this transhumanism signal, this Bluetooth signal transmit and receive, doesn't work. And so we knew from our initial pilot study, where we had reduced significantly the levels of graphene oxide, we knew that we had a chance that Masterpiece might be able to stop and disable these signals.
So is a MAC address going to literally be a real-time thing that tells them who, what, where, when, how, why on an actual human being? I mean, at this point, the brave new world is here. We're not talking about the Internet of Things anymore, unless you want to consider a human being a thing. It's the Internet of Beings at this point. But what can they derive from the MAC address?
That's a big question. I would say not a whole lot. And Caroline should probably chip in on this because the frequency wave is so low that it's only sending back a signal about twice every second. It's more like a track and trace, kind of like a what they have on the luggage. And I think Caroline would be a better one to jump in on that one.
Grab the bat, Caroline.
Yeah, sure. Well, basically the signal, which I mean, I'm going to go through all this with you, but there's no communication with the signal. It is basically just saying, hi, here I am. That's what it is. It's just giving out a frequency. Doesn't communicate with anything at all.
So if you scan for it with a device, are you just looking at a string of numbers like anything else, like an iPad?
Yeah. So basically the most similar frequency to the one that we've picked up on is the Find Me setting in an iPhone. So it's just saying, here I am, or as you say, in a luggage tag. That's a similar signal.
So it can say, hey, that person who we've absolutely identified with a unique string of numbers is over there right now.
Yes.
I would take that a step further. It says more than that by proxy, doesn't it? It says that person is over there here now, and they agreed to be involved in this. Well, that's not true if shedding is the cause. But if you agreed to some of the things we've outlined here, and that's how it came to you, well, I guess that doesn't matter if shedding's true. Am I wrong here?
Yeah, I mean, there was the informed consent in all of this. A lot of people who agreed to take that shot didn't have informed consent on any of this. They were forced to do it. And people who are potentially picking it up through transfection, definitely there's no informed consent.
If I had a device in my hand, an iPad or something, and I scanned it for a Mac, is there any sense of how strong the signal is coming out of the body compared to, you know, like an iPad or something?
Yes, there is. And I'm going to unpack all this for you as we go through. But the packets are very small. Their signals are quite weak, but they are a signal. And we've been able to identify exactly what these signals are. And they're totally unique for the human signal, for the human chip giving off this MAC address signal.
Is it a given right now that I use Masterpiece, but let's say I didn't. If I didn't, is it almost certain that I'm emanating a MAC address at this point?
It's highly potential, yes, that you are.
And what if somebody wanted to check to see if they are? Is there a simple way to do that?
Well, yes, there is. And should I just go through what I'm going to discuss with you?
Yeah.
Let me run through the testing and then I can go through all of these questions with you.
Yeah, Carolyn, if you could, that would be great if you could start what the study was, what the goal was, and who was involved.
Yeah, sure. So if we just start from the beginning. So obviously in the beginning, Matt asked me to look to maybe run a MAC address study as this weird phenomenon was going around that people are emitting these MAC addresses. So I began to do testing with an iPhone, with an app on an iPhone. It's a Bluetooth detecting app. And I would get test subjects to come into an isolated field. So it has to be a technology-free environment. There is a specific protocol for this. So it's isolated, it's away from people, away from houses, away from buildings. So you know straight away if you're detecting a MAC address of somebody, it's coming off that person and not coming off anything else. So the maximum Bluetooth range is 100 meters. So where I was positioned was 200 meters away from any tracks or any houses, etc. And I was using a Bluetooth Finder app on my iPhone. It's called the BLE Scanner 4.0. It's by Blue Pixel Technologies LLP, and it has a radar facility. That was one of the apps I was using, and people can download that app. You can get this one on the iPhone. There was another app that you would use on an Android, which is just as proficient as well. So initially, my testing was I had the test subjects arrive with no Bluetooth devices on them. So we're talking no Fitbits, no earbuds, iPhone switched off or left in the car, and make sure the Bluetooth is switched off. So we double checked everything, and they would enter the field. And I was able to confirm before they entered the field, obviously there was no MAC addresses being picked up. And as they approached me, I could actually see on the app I was using has a radar facility, and you can see the person walking towards you on this radar radar facility on the app. It's just quite incredible. And when they walk away, you can see them walking away. So in this preliminary testing, I tested about 30 people, and 22 of these people showed a positive MAC address. And almost all of them had received the COVID shot or had PCR tests. But as Matt said, two of the women, actually, I thought there was one, but when I went back over my notes, I realized there was actually two women who had never taken a shot, the COVID shot, never had a PCR test, but they both had active MAC addresses. But both of their husbands had taken the shots and had PCR tests. So this raised the important question about possible transmission. So at this point, I knew that my app was detecting these MAC addresses, as had been shown on this a website people can go to called thebluetoothpolice.com, where hundreds of people around the world have been posting similar tests that I was doing, showing that they were picking up these MAC addresses off people and they're coming off in graveyards, from the graves, etc. So Matt, when he asked me to do this study, in my mind, what I wanted to do was replicate the Bluetooth documentary that was done by or completed by Dr. Chavez and a scientific team. And there was also another study in 2022, which was a French study by another research team, and they had all detected these MAC addresses coming off people, but it was with specific technical equipment that I did not know how to use. So I knew I needed to source a technical expert, and this is when I brought in the IT chap called Montil Pavlov, known as Manu. And he had been researching this phenomenon for the past 4 years. And he used very highly specialized Bluetooth scanning equipment that had been used in the Bluetooth documentary. So we could replicate the same mythology as these other studies. So I put the question to him, and Manu agreed he would like to be part of this study. And he flew over from Bulgaria, that's where he's from. And he began testing the same test subjects that I had already screened with my phone. And to my surprise, the phone app that I'd been using was almost as effective at detecting these MAC addresses as this professional grade equipment. However, the professional grade equipment can unpack all the data, unlike the phone. So if anybody wanted to just do this testing themselves to find out if they are emitting a MAC address, there's a really simple way to do this. And we can give this information to your listeners out there underneath the recording. Anyway, so Manu was satisfied that the test subjects were emitting these MAC addresses. He was satisfied with the results, and he said, great, let's begin the study. So the equipment that we were using, for people who are sort of IT savvy out there, the operating system was called Kali Linux. And the software that we were using is something called Kismet and Bitmain. Now, this is used in cybersecurity and top-level equipment that developers use for detecting BLE Bluetooth signals. And this is what was used in the previous studies by Dr. Chavez in the French study. And they also used what's called a sniffer to detect the Bluetooth signal. And they were using something called Ubertooth 1. But since their studies had come out, the company that were producing the Ubertooth 1 antenna were no longer producing that. So we couldn't use the same antenna. So this led us down a different road. We had to source another antenna, which was actually fortuitous because it gave us far more detail than the other studies were able to get. And it's called an NRF52840. And we used another operating system. We wanted to introduce as much as we could into the study to make it more comprehensive. So the other software that we used was something called Wireshark. And what that did was able to give us even more of a detailed protocol analysis than the Kismet and the Bitmain on the Kali Linux. And the Wireshark can also work on an operating system such as Mac or
PC.
That's it. Yeah, on a PC. So we were looking for something that potentially people could use out there in professional grade equipment and not just relying on this Kismet and the Kali Linux, because you would have to be an IT expert to use that equipment. And we wanted people to be able to do this testing themselves, not only with the apps, but with professional grade equipment that people could potentially use. So we started the testing with 8 people from the 30 had agreed to be part of the study. And it's no small commitment. We're hoping for more, but these people needed to agree to come to the testing site multiple times. So that means driving to an isolated spot, walking through woods, walking across some multiple fields to get to where we'd set up the testing station, and also to agree to come to the testing station over a period of several months. And we didn't know how many times they would need to be tested. They needed to agree to take an intervention, you know, being Masterpiece at 5 drops twice a day. And they also needed to agree to be filmed, because we had the whole process independently filmed by an independent documentary filmmaker from David Icke's team, Christiana. And she turned up at every single test date to film everything, including a drone, to show the change in the months, you know, in the season. So everyone can see that this is completely separately and independently logged, apart from what we are doing. And also, getting test subjects in the first instance is not that easy. And I'll explain why. Because we want to keep it really simple for people, because we don't want to scare them. Because a lot of people who have taken this shot aren't aware of what's happening to them or what potentially was in the shot. So when I was testing them, I would just tell them that we're just testing for electromagnetic frequencies coming off the body. And if they pressed a bit further, I would just say, it appears that there's a Bluetooth address coming from your body. But we didn't go into any depth because I didn't want to alarm them. I didn't want them to be going off to do research online and have them change their lifestyle or look to other detox protocols. So there's a fine line and fine balance between finding the right test subject who wouldn't sort of go off down a rabbit hole and start doing other things. So the goal was to keep everything consistent. So any changes observed would be linked to the intervention, not through anything else. So this was the first longitudinal and intervention study, as Terry said. For the baseline testing, we set up a gazebo in the middle of the field, complete with table and chairs. It was our little scientific base.
Wait a minute, just for a second. I'm sorry for interrupting, but is the idea you opted to not like create a Faraday cage? The reason you're in the field is because it's signal free?
Exactly. It's a technology free environment. So there was no other signals in the field.
Okay.
So that's the whole idea of being in the middle of nowhere, basically. So we set up this gazebo or this little scientific base in the middle of nowhere, and we scheduled each participant to arrive one at a time. So there was no overlap. And on the first testing day, when we started, we had four test subjects turn up. Four didn't turn up. But that was fine because it was a good solid starting point for us. And we'd already tested these test subjects two times before, one of them three times before, and we knew they all had MAC addresses in the preliminary testing. So we tested each test subject as they arrived. And yes, they were still emitting a MAC address. And what we did was we said, great, we've began the study. Please take this masterpiece, 5 drops twice a day until we see you again, which will probably be in about 4 to 5 weeks' time. So the test subjects that we had were 3 females and 1 male. They were all in their 20s and 30s. They had all had Pfizer and AstraZeneca, up to 3 shots, three of them. And one of them had had 2 shots. And one of the participants had had over 50 PCR tests because she worked for the NHS here in the UK. It's called the National Health Service. So every time she went in, she had to have a PCR test. And she was actually emitting 2 MAC addresses when we tested her. Another participant who'd had over 10 PCR tests and 3 of the COVID shots also had 2 MAC addresses at baseline. And the other 2 had 1 MAC address each at baseline. So, they went away. And then we had them come back 5 weeks later, actually, which was on the 10th of May. And we were, again, looking at these Bluetooth signals. They were all emitting a Bluetooth signal again. But one of the participants was now had 1 MAC address and not 2. So we didn't know what to make of that, but we obviously noted that down. So the MAC addresses that we were picking up with the professional grade equipment were of unknown device. So usually with a MAC address, it's naming what the device is, whether it's a GoPro camera or a gimbal camera or a Fitbit watch or whatever it is, earbuds. But the signals coming off the human test subjects were always unknown, and they were always marked down as non-connectable. So we tested everybody on the 35-day mark, and we sent them away with more masterpiece and said, please continue for another 5 weeks or more. But a couple of weeks after that, the company Human Consciousness Support decided that we should increase their dosage. So everyone was instructed to increase their dosage from 5 drops to 15 drops twice a day for the remainder of the study. And we had everyone come back, which was 6 weeks later, which was now the 22nd of June. So at this point, this day was really a truly remarkable day because as each test subject arrived, again, one at a time, we realized something extraordinary. None of them were emitting a positive MAC address anymore.
Wow.
And I always used a radar app alongside the professional grade equipment that Manu was using. And usually I would see the people approaching on the radar before they reached the base. But on this day, both the app and the specialist equipment showed nothing, one after another, as every participant arrived, it was clear. And I really feel this was a moment of, it was a genuine elation to see complete disappearance of those signals, and something that had been so consistently present was both surprising and incredibly encouraging. And I felt like this was an absolute breakthrough.
It's amazing. I'm stunned. So what was the total elapse of time from the very first dose to through the increased dose? How many weeks had gone by?
So we had gone by, I'm just going to get it exactly for you. It was 1, 2, 3, 4 weeks.
And halfway through, you tripled the dose?
No, it's 78 days, Carolyn. He's asking for the whole total testing period.
Oh, sorry. The whole testing period was 11 weeks, 78 days.
That's incredible. Okay, go ahead, please.
Yeah. So obviously, all these studies have just shown that people have MAC addresses and that's it. But what was fortuitous about us bringing in all this extra equipment, including the Wireshark, is that, as I said, this was able to unpack the data further. And through Wireshark's graph-based analysis, we found something remarkable, just as remarkable as the MAC addresses being removed. We were able to find that the human chip signal is universal. It's always one packet per emission. It's usually every 2 seconds, so there can be slight variations. And the closest match to this tech is the iPhone's Find Me, as I said, when it's in Find Me mode. And this actually sends out 3 packets per emission, but the difference is that it is consistent, whereas the human signals is a non-connectable type with occasional interruptions. So in simple terms, the human signal is saying, here I am, and it's just like, find me, it's a beacon, but it's got its own unmistakable signature. And we have now put together the graphs to show what the signal looks like. Manu has actually gone further and tested in the crowds. And he's found the exact same signals coming from the human bodies, because when he's done the testing before, it's always just said, yeah, unknown device or non-communicable, and that's it. But now he was with this new data that he can unpack through Wireshark. He's now able to not only just test crowds and see that we've got this unknown device, but he can see that it's exactly the same signal. He's tested hundreds of people now. So the whole idea of testing people in the middle of the field was obviously to make it as simple as possible for people to see that when we're doing this testing, it's not coming from anywhere else. But now we've been able to isolate the actual signal transmission visually. Going forward, there's going to be virtually no need to go out into the middle of a field because we know what this signal looks like now.
So I have a couple questions before I hand it over to Jason, because I'm sure he's got them. When you were detecting the people coming towards you, how far away were they when you could first detect them?
Yeah, so they were probably about 50 meters away.
Wow. Okay, so the other question is, when you detected it and saw it on your device, was it a full 12-digit hexadecimal MAC address?
Yes, it was.
So it looked indistinguishable mostly from any old MAC address?
Well, it would look very similar to all MAC addresses. It would just have its unique identifier. It was no different to any MAC address coming off any other device when you're looking at that ID. But what was different was when you unpacked the data with the graph analysis. And now you can visually see what that signal looks like compared to other Bluetooth devices. I wish I could show your audience, because we've done the whole graphs on it. And it's just when you see it with the eyes, then you can understand it a lot better. But if you can imagine, you've got a graph and on the baseline, the human nanochip is 1 packet per second. So it's like a small wave at the base of the graph. And then the next one up from that we've detected so far would be the iPhone Find Me. It's 3 packets per second. So it's got it's more consistent, but it comes up higher on the graph, if you can see what I mean.
I do. And when you were looking at these addresses, were they hyphenated addresses, colonated addresses, or period addresses?
I'd need to go back into the data to have a quick look at that. Why are you asking that question?
Well, I did a lookup so that I can explain verbatim what a MAC address is to people. And I just learned that there are 3 types of notation for the address. One uses 2 digits and a hyphen, the other 2 digits and a colon, the last 3 digits and a period.
Okay, so the colon's in between the digits.
Okay, so it's a colonated hexadecimal notation, and that's all. Jason, do you have any questions to get in before she continues?
Well, you kind of just got into it. I wanted to know if there's anything about these MAC addresses that could uniquely identify where it may have come from or what might be looking for it specifically, like, is this a Microsoft thing? Is this an Apple thing, et cetera?
The answer to that question is yes, Jason, but because of targeting and things that could come up, that's just not something that we're going to bring up on the show, but we'll tell you guys afterwards. But you're absolutely right. It is going to a specific one place that is getting these signals. Yes.
All right, Carolyn, before you continue, is this a good place for me to quickly describe exactly what a MAC address is, or should I do that after you're finished?
No, you can do that now. That's fine.
All right, here we go. Here's the format of a MAC address. To understand what a MAC address is, it is very important to first understand the format of a MAC address. So a MAC address is 12 digits. Wait for it. It's hexadecimal. I've worked in code many, many years, and we refer to that as hex. It is a 48-bit binary number, which is mostly represented by colon hexadecimal notation, which Caroline just mentioned. So I'm not going to read everything here. I'm giving you a very basic overview. As one example, you might see in a MAC address an identifier, and this is not connected to what we're talking about. It would be CC colon 46 colon D6, and that might be Google, Cisco, Hewlett Packard, whoever. Now, the rightmost six digits, those are the first two. The rightmost six digits go to the network interface controller, which is assigned by the manufacturer. As discussed above, the MAC address is represented in the notation I mentioned. That's a brief overview of what a MAC address is. So, Carolyn, please pick up again.
Yeah, great. I mean, we're talking about these MAC addresses, but I feel also being able to see that these signals in real time, showing them on a graph, seeing the pattern of these MAC addresses is the real breakthrough, because it gives us a whole new way of identifying and understanding, measuring this phenomenon. And it takes the conversation far beyond, you know, speculation to an observable, documented fact. And I feel like this study, what we've done is we've taken it from a mystery to a measurable reality. We're not just saying, hey, you've got a MAC address. This is unusual. Wonder why, how it's, you know, forming. But, you know, we can see that it is completely distinctly different to other Bluetooth devices. And I feel this is a game changer.
So you're now in possession via the study of a few MAC addresses. And the question I'm going to ask is already partially answered, because we know there's an identifier. So you probably saw that across the numbers you've collected. Are there any other similarities from address to address to address collected from different individuals? And by the way, you mentioned some people had two MAC addresses. Were there similarities in the strings you pulled, the 12-digit hex number?
No, they were completely different. So, you know, there's still a lot of questions around how a number or this identifier comes to form from this self-assembling nanotech in our body. But the similarity is simply the signal and what that looks like on the graph compared to all other Bluetooth devices. The human signal is totally unique.
In a way, I've known about this, but I'm absolutely blown away that we're sitting here talking about this. So of the three of you, is there anyone we're speaking to right now who detected a MAC address in themselves?
No.
No.
Nope.
No. And actually, the team, myself, Manu, we had an assistant who was not vaccinated. And also the filmmaker, Christiana, was not vaccinated or had the injection. And none of us were emitting MAC addresses.
Are you pretty certain on your logical work through that the shedding is absolutely a thing? And is this completely based on, as the example given, a married couple where one person took the procedure and the other did not, yet both of them had that? Would you consider this 99% accurate, the idea of the shedding?
I think it's highly likely. It's highly possible.
Definitely transmission, you know, because it was these two women that were with their men that had had it. So
we actually, when we jumped over to Caroline, we missed one of the questions, Matt, that was under your bullets. How are we getting transfected with these components?
We know for a fact we are getting transfected through the COVID vaccines, through PCR tests, and through transmission. But we also know that from all sources that what makes up these components to be able to make this completed system takes graphene oxide and the regular other components that you would see in any hardware, the internal part of your computer or phone. And we had known from our initial pilot study that we were getting the graphene oxide out, that we were getting the hydrogel out, that we were getting the polypropylene out. And these are all parts, they have their part in the hardware system. So we knew, you know, it's kind of like if you could just take out the one part that it takes for it to work, we knew we had a chance. And Dr. Robert Young had screamed from the rooftops that from everything he had seen with the magnetic capability of Masterpiece to grab these positively charged magnetic components, that disabling the system off was a possibility. And it's where the rubber meets the road. It's like, okay, why do we want these poisons and toxins out of us? Well, in today's world where they're actively trying to make us into transhumans, we want to see, well, what does it lead to? And it leads to reverting someone who's now identified, let's say modified, for lack of a better word, and transhuman back to who they were, a regular human not emitting a MAC address and feeling better from being depoisoned. And that's important for all of us, unfortunately, in this crazy reality meets sci-fi existence we all have here on Earth, right?
Well, I can illustrate exactly what you said and why it matters. You cannot patent a thing that is made by God, as they phrase it. In other words, I can't take a plant and clone it and then patent the clone, even if I, you know, breed something new into it. But if I take that plant and I modify it so that it is now unique in the world, I can patent it. And as we were going into 2020, on more than one occasion, Jason and I brought up the idea that if they were truly changing your RNA, DNA, or whatever the hell they're claiming, then that became an individual who could be patented.
Yes, you're absolutely correct. You hit the nail on the head. And there is patents out there, and they've been shown around for quite a while. Once someone, you know, nature science, what I call the cycles and patterns of nature, everything has its place. There may be venom in a scorpion, but everything has its place, and it's all good for us. Now we get into technology, and technology can be good or bad. And unfortunately, when our world controllers are psychopaths, they make sure and turn all the technology and use what could be good into something bad that they use to control or make weapons out of it or whatnot. And so for us to actually complete a study where there was four camera angles, Crow. You're talking about a drone. Each time the study participants came out to the field, they were underneath the, you know, Caroline was explaining the gazebo. It was a Faraday cage, yes, Faraday cloth. And so when we're talking about a drone, two still cameras, and then a moving mobile camera to be able to keep all the naysayers off and all the people that would try to discredit the work that was done here, we had an independent filming company, David Icke's production team. And so we tried to do everything that we could, because they were available out there, to ensure that we could come to a conclusive findings, let people know that something that is all natural, that has been proven in every type of way out there, was actually going to disable this signal. And it was a big win for humanity that day. When they told me, I was driving on the highway and they captured on film, I couldn't pull myself together for 15 minutes. And I'm never like that.
Let's outline, just so nobody misses what's been said here. Human beings are carrying MAC addresses as if they're no better than an iPad or a cell phone. The product Masterpiece has now been shown to remove that address from you. And as you're talking, I'm putting together in my mind, Caroline said over and over and over, you know, that it can't be connected to things like this. I mean, at this point, is it possible that we're getting some kind of an update in an iPhone we're unaware of that allows your iPhone to detect that address and then transmit it off?
I would say absolutely.
Think about what the reason might be, everybody listening, for putting a MAC address in the human being. And you don't got to go very far. We know about the Internet of Things. We know about much more than the Internet of Things. But the break in the loop of logic here is what Carolyn laid down. You can't connect to it. It's just doing its thing. Beep, 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 if you want to think about it that way. And you know damn well that's not where they want to go with this. So I'm wondering, are iPhones carrying or other phones carrying an update and transmitting data back? I mean, what do you think, Jason? It's got to be headed somewhere like that, doesn't it?
Well, absolutely. There's obviously a much bigger agenda at work here. I think that goes without saying.
I'm thinking this is phase one. There's no way that it's just going to be a transmitter as described moving forward. They've been doing all this in stages anyway, right?
You're absolutely right. You really are. And everybody should at home do their research on what's called the Brain Initiative. Barack Obama signed it in. They're now funding $1 billion a year to about 100 different gain of research labs, all types of labs. It's very compartmentalized. Everybody has their aspect, a very specific thing that their objective is to do. I've spoken with one guy who owns his own nano lab, and he was explaining what his portion of it was to do. And it's very scary when we start looking at the capability. There's different layers of this. But what we do know is that they're interested. They have cataracts. They have all types of implants they've been messing with, the size of a rice, just like Klaus Schwab said, that hold a stronger signal that could do a lot more than just a track and trace. Like what this MAC address is at this low of a wave is a track and trace, more like it. But there's more layers to it than that. And it is as sinister and as evil as is imaginable with these people.
Do you know if anyone's taken the time to take MAC address detection tools and start doing things like mass used products like milk? Do you know if anyone's done that? At this point, if I know a very popular product in this world, I'm probably not using it. That's how bad it's gotten. But are you aware of people scanning foodstuffs as an example?
I don't. Not offhand. Do you?
I don't.
I've not heard of that. I mean, people are looking at products under the microscope and, as we know, making all sorts of claims about what they're seeing. And some people are taking that further and doing chemical analysis alongside the microscopy and finding that there is graphene oxide and various things inside certain products. That's for sure. But doing the testing with an app, that's not something I've done. I don't know if anyone's been doing that either.
Yeah, I've watched far too many Hollywood movies in my younger days. And, you know, I'm truly suspicious of things like milk. It's gotten that bad. Anyhow, we got about 15 minutes left in the hour, and I want to be certain that we get all the crucial information from Caroline and Matt before they punch. What do we need to cover while we've still got time here?
Well, I'd just like to be a voice for the overall team that has been involved, not just with human consciousness support, but even outside of it, where we set out, the mission was always to provide something for humanity. And so this company's evolved with the influence of the greatest people out there that knew something had to come about that was actually going to help lift the consciousness. You know, consciousness has been plagued here on planet Earth and human beings, because when you're poisoned and you physically feel bad, how can you even start to think too much about your emotional self? And more importantly, what we really need to be focused on, which is our spiritual evolvement. And so when we're able to get these poisons out and we see such a huge number of people who their dream state and their dream quality, they claim is drastically improved by taking masterpiece. They're talking about their third eye, the most sensitive part of their central nervous system. And so I think with humanity, we all need to know that the controllers that are trying to control us, their plan doesn't work if they didn't poison you. Their total plan of transhumanism, this depopulation and this whole singularity thing is definitely not going to work with a MAC address and with people are depoisoned. And so I just make a strong urge for people who are so caught up in their life that they're just now finally waking up that something's going on. You need to take care of yourself first. Take care of your inner temple first, so that everything that you affect, you will affect in a better way, and you will help your family, because we're getting down. Time is truly at this point getting down to the time is of the essence, everybody. We've done studies testing the levels of glyphosate in people, gender dysphoria chemicals like atrazine and all that. And whether someone was COVID jabbed or not, whether they were eating organic or not, whatever their healthy habits are, they're all levels start off high. Their levels are high. And so there's nowhere out there to hide from the poisoning that you're under. And so when we talk about quality of life, and we can all agree that our health is our wealth, because no matter what our success is here or anywhere is, it doesn't matter what you got. It doesn't matter the labels you have or how much money's in your bank account. If your health is going downhill, I don't know anybody that wouldn't give up everything they had if they were going to wake up happy and healthy the next day. And so going along with that, our health, we know, is our wealth. And so this is a big charge, something that can make a huge difference into regaining a lot of what's been taken covertly from you, which is your health on all levels. And now with this sick transhumanism thing that is occurring in our world, this is an abomination against all things natural, all things good. And nobody would agree to put this on. I would say this, whoever is behind this plot. And you could be Harari at the World Economic Forum, or you could be someone running a nano lab. And if you know that you are ushering in their plan, this transhumanism plan, and you catch wind that you're actually working for the bad guys, I'll just tell you this. Look to any relationship in your life to determine, see how you, the people that were treated before you, such as us and our kids, see how they got treated. And know this, that once you become expendable, like we've become expendable, you know how your kids and you're going to get done. You'll be sitting there being a transhumanism too. And you won't be sitting there drinking wine at the top of their buildings. You'll be in the Hunger Games alongside with us. And so we've lost a lot of our power and control over things, everything outside of ourselves. Now we're losing control of ourselves. So I just urge the people out there that know they're involved in helping on any level to usher this stuff in. Your time is soon too. Because we may be getting pushed off the plank, so to speak, or they're trying to, but you're in line with us because you weren't in that original room making up that room. So you are never one of those guys. So yeah, thank you, Crow. You are one of the few platforms that fight for the truth and wherever that leads us. And that's a big deal. And so we were very excited to be able to bring out these clinical studies findings with you guys. And this is a big win for humanity. It truly is.
There's not going to be a day go by when my wife and I aren't using this, and many of the people close to me I love, but you made a crucial point there. What does everybody imagine happens if these wolves win? Well, that means that there's a room full of wolves. What happens to a room full of wolves? None of it makes sense. The reality and the reason I'm behind a telescope is because we're in the era change. That's why I'm focused on the sun. It may not be long before I announce that that binary is our spiritual sun and directly not only tied to consciousness, but some of the most important things for a human being. But in this era shift, we are leaving behind the low vibrational systems that have allowed all this stuff we're talking about to come to be. And unfortunately, we have these sick individuals who want it to remain the same. They want to hold this low vibrational control center. And they know what everybody knows. In a war, you demoralize your enemy, you win. In other words, hopelessness allows them total control through hopelessness. Never give up all the way or you have lost. That's the fact. But what we're heading into can be described as a high vibrational era. And what Matt just said, that's why I'm behind this. That's why I'm all about this. The era we are heading into is the opposite of a low vibrational system. And in my mind is best summed up as service to others. That is not the system we are used to. That is not what we are trying to break free. And there's no reason to be hopeless because unfortunately, between a low vibrational system and the high vibrational system we're heading, there's a little thing called chaos. And that will exist until all of the low vibrational components have been dismantled and eradicated. And that's the way it is right now. But Jason, we're getting close. Do you think we missed anything?
Well, Caroline, did we go over everything you wanted to get in?
Yeah, I believe so. I do have another chart that I could have gone through, which is just really running through the difference between the two signal outputs, you know, from the human body compared to other Bluetooth devices. And to say that the human body, the signal is low intensity and it's unstable compared to Bluetooth devices made in factories, for example, which are high intensity and stable. So the signal strength coming off this human chip as such is a weak signal, occasionally emitting one packet every 2 seconds, compared to a device which uses a lithium battery, for example, which has strong frequent bursts, which is always 3 packets or more. So this is the difference. And I believe this is because, you know, this is relating to self-assembling nanotechnology in biological fluids that is really harvesting either the ambient EMF or using body bioelectricity to charge it compared to, as I said, a lithium battery. So these are the differences in the two signals.
So basically, you know, we're coming back to, is it harvesting free energy from our environment, which has been hidden for so long, or is it parasiting it right off our bodies? But I got to ask, is this in all our body fluids? Like, do you suspect that what we're calling these self-fabricating nanobots, is that going to be in semen, urine? blood? Is it going to be everywhere, do you think?
Well, that's an interesting one. I know people have been looking at, you know, where are these chips likely to land? Some people are saying they're more likely to be in the brain. I know that Manu did do a test on a few test subjects, and he went to the vaccination site, and that's where he found a signal was coming from. So I feel that's still further research to be done. But, you know, these self-assembling technology can go through the body, through the interstitial fluid. It could land anywhere. I really don't know.
Well, you said an incredible thing there, because if it's found in the brain, that means they've cracked crossing the blood-brain barrier.
Well, yes.
Absolutely.
Unbelievable that we're even having this conversation, but it's freaking awesome that the thrust of this conversation is there's a little bottle. You can take a few drops a day and eradicate that signal. I mean, it's incredible. All of it. It's just incredible. So, Terry, can you think of anything we didn't get in hour one?
No, just wrapping up. You know, we're full of these poisons and we don't want to fear monger, but a complete eradication of them is probably unrealistic at this point. So we're looking at consistent remediation. These folks, who's to say if they didn't go up to 15 drops, if they would have eventually been free of these addresses, we don't know. We don't have that control study. But the fact that one of them went down one signal, just at 5 drops twice a day, is incredible data. And moving forward, these folks are still taking Masterpiece in case we want to revisit their particular cases. But it's just the world we live in, we need consistent remediation because of everything that's coming at us. There is not a when am I done, unfortunately.
We'll be done in the new age, but we're not quite there. Jason, if you're with me, I think we're going to wrap hour one here and prep up for hour two with Terry. And again, in hour two, we're going to open up with a testimonial that's a bit jaw-dropping. So Caroline, thank you so much. Matt, thank you so much. Last chance, anything you want to offer up before I close hour one?
Yeah, thank you. I just want to say thank you for having me back on and to let people know that there is hope. This study for me was just groundbreaking. I didn't expect that on that 11th week that these test subjects would come back and they would all have their MAC addresses turned off, no longer there. And we know from the previous studies that bringing these levels down to the tolerable ranges at the 90-day mark, that could be the sweet spot. But we did also see levels tittering between tolerable and borderline. But Masterpiece manages to keep them down at that level so they don't go up to the high and very high ranges. So ongoing remediation, I believe, is just important right now.
Well, I'm going to say congratulations to all you guys for coming into resonance with the new era, which will be about service to others, which is how I view everything that's happened here. Also prepare, as we did last time, for the troll attack. But fear not, trolls don't last very long at crow777radio.com. And that's more a warning to the little agents of the system than it is anything else. With that, I'm going to bring hour one to a close. We're going to prep up for hour two, and you really don't want to miss hour two. Caroline and Matt, thank you so much. Terry, I'll be back with you in just a few minutes. Hour one is free to everybody at crow777radio.com. Members know to log in for the full episode. Members get access to all the forums and comments sections, and they can create top-level topics. They could stream the two-hour film that now has 10 awards in the world called Shoot the Moon, covering my past telescope work to include all the lunar waves, the discovery of the so-called second sun, which I may soon begin calling the spiritual sun, and a litany of just UFOs or whatever you want to call them. On the website, my membership gets exclusive access to the work I'm doing on the sun currently with a 130-millimeter hydrogen alpha solar telescope. Only 3 of them have been purchased in North America. Also available on the website are the stills of the sun that everybody requested. With that, we're going to take a short break. I hope to see you all logged in as members for hour two. I'd like to wish you all a happy, healthy, and higher-minded new era. There it is, man. Cheers. We'll be right back.
belief is the enemy of knowing.